Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray today that, Lord, that there'd be a Pentecost going on right here, that, Lord, you would speak in our native language, that you would challenge us and encourage us, Lord, that you would that we would help to see you, the truth that you have for us here today. We pray this for you in the sake of your kingdom. Amen. So Pentecost Day, for those who know Pentecost Day, that's that reading or the giving of the Holy Spirit kind of a day. And I love Pentecost Day. I love Pentecost Day. And just settle in. Just settle in. Get comfortable. Hopefully you got a good full cup of coffee today because it's Pentecost. It's time to celebrate. And one of the reasons I love it is because this, we just don't talk about the Holy Spirit enough. We just don't. And so this is the day that we dedicate towards him. In fact, Francis Chan said that the Holy Spirit is the forgotten God of the church. We just don't think about it. We don't talk about it. In fact, I always love with confirmation interviews, we talk about, okay, who's God the Father? Who's God the Son? And then we get to who God's the Holy Spirit, and there's this blank kind of stare on their face. I don't know how you describe it. And frankly, when we talk to most Christians, they do the same thing. How do you describe how does the Holy Spirit look like? I'm not sure. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is absolutely the most important person in your life. It's the most important person in this church. And I love the way the NT writes it at this. He said this, without God's Spirit, there is nothing we can do that will count in God's kingdom. Think about that. Without the Holy Spirit, there's nothing you can do that will count in God's kingdom. And without God's Spirit, the church simply can't be the church. And so on that day, it was beautiful. Jesus was sitting with his disciples, and he knew that he was going to leave them. We talked about this about 3 weeks ago. He knew he was going to leave them, and in doing that, he said this, hey, I'm not going to be with you forever, but I'm sending someone to be an advocate that will lead you to truth. And he says this another time with disciples, and I love this, and he says this, that you will do even greater things than me. I mean, think about that. He's saying to his disciples, and to you too, right, that I'm going to give you the Spirit, and through the Spirit, you will be able to do things even bigger and better than I. I mean, think about that. And most of us would say, no way, no way. Because we had that elevated view of Jesus and who he is, as we should. We said, well, there's no way we can do better things. And that's true. There's no way that you can do better things. But that's why he sent the Spirit, because through the Spirit, that you can do even bigger things. And for some of us, that's kind of a trick. We're like, well, wait a second. That just doesn't seem right. You're tricking us, right? Like, you're setting us up. Nope, Jesus said it. And I love this. So they're sitting down there, said Pentecost, and I believe this is one of those days where kind of Jesus' words said, hey, even bigger things are going to happen. You're going to see things that you weren't quite prepared for, ready for, and it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost is one of those, was the first example of that, right? So they're sitting here, think about this, average day, just sitting around there and talking, hey, Dean, how are you doing? Tell me about your family. What did you do last night? What'd you watch? Oh, Must See Thursday. I forgot about that. No, it wasn't Must See Thursday. But they're just talking about life, right? In the midst of this, imagine what must have happened in that moment when a sound comes from heaven. Always a showstopper in those moments, right? And they said it sounded like the rushing of a wind storm. Think about that. What that must have been like to be sitting there and having this conversation. All of a sudden, out of nowhere comes this thing like a windstorm that comes down. And they look over, and all of a sudden, there is a flame sitting on top of Phil's head. And I don't know about you, but you think about that. That must have been quite a sight. You know, what would you do in that moment? Phil, stop, drop, and roll. You're on fire, right? I mean, what must have been going on? But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. And then it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started speaking language that they did not know. What would that be like today? Think about this just a second ago as Rick was sitting up here. What would have been like if you would have stood up and all of a sudden you would have just started speaking Swahili? Well, you probably don't know you were speaking Swahili because I'm assuming you don't know Swahili. But imagine this just happened to be one of the weekends where we had some great visitors from Swahili. They were up here fishing for walleye. And they came up here and they said, you know what? Oh, my gosh, that is my language. What in the world is someone from Swahili knowing my language, speaking to me? And I'm guessing as you're sitting there and you're speaking Swahili, you're like, oh my word, what in the world is going on in the midst of this, right? And you're just kind of giddy, and they're giddy because they can hear your language. And is it not just a moment that would just be amazing? Right? Right? It says it, verse 7, they were amazed. Yeah, I know, it's crazy. And not just amazed, they were completely amazed. Verse 12 says they stood there and they were amazed and perplexed. Yeah. And I think about this, when the Holy Spirit moves, right? This is the reaction, this is the first taste of it. When the Holy Spirit moves, that's what happens, is we stand amazed and perplexed. And I started thinking, well, why in the world is that? And I love what N.T. Wright says in the midst of this. He says this. He describes the Spirit this way. He says it is as if heaven crashes, the power of heaven crashes the world. I love it. It's like the power of heaven is unleashed in the world. And so think about that. When you have the power of heaven unleashed in the world, what can happen? I mean, what does the power of heaven do? The power of heaven brings dead back to life. Right? I mean, we're talking power. What? I mean, think about that. If you can bring dead people back to life, that is power. And he says this, that my power is now present in you. I don't know about you, but that's chill. You have the power in you to bring the dead back to life. Didn't expect to hear that today, did you? So, in the midst of this, they're sitting there, and they're just absolutely perplexed and amazed in the midst of it. And it begs the question, when was the last time that you could look at the church or in your life or in your family or the things around you and say, man, I am perplexed and amazed. I mean, someone says this, hey, tell me about the last time that you just stood in amazement of the Spirit's movement in your life, in your family, in your school, in your work, in your church. What would you say? I mean, how would you answer that? And I'm guessing for a lot of us, we would say, well, I don't know. I don't know when the last time that I've really just been overwhelmed by the Spirit's movement in my life. There have been times where I've looked and said, well, that was pretty cool. But amazed, perplexed in the midst of that. And I think for many of us, it's this, right? Here's the rub. Here was the rub for me this last week. For many of us, we would rather be the bystanders of the Holy Spirit, right? We want to stand and watch and see what happens. But in Pentecost, we want to be the ones that are in the thing and all of a sudden, hey, oh my word, I hear my language. Think about it. We want to be amazed, but not used. We want to be perplexed, but safe. And I think about this in the midst of this. We a lot of times will say this, come Holy Spirit and fill me. Not in a way to do anything too risky, but in a safe, controlled way where I really don't have to do a whole lot. But would you use me in a way that just absolutely amazes people without really me doing anything? I mean, if we're honest, isn't that kind of the prayer we ask? When we say, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us and move us? And would you just absolutely amaze and perplex? Most of us say, oh, I'm not praying that prayer because I don't know what's going to happen. If we're honest. And I think that's so true for us. We kind of sit there and say, I want to listen. I don't want to be the speaker. I want to show up to the movie theater, but I don't want to be on the screen. I want to be in the stands, but I don't want to be on the field. I just want to be perplexed and amazed at what he does through other people. Isn't that the beauty of that moment? And I love what Jesus does with the disciples. He's constantly teaching them what the Spirit was all about. And he says, I'm going to send you an advocate, and the advocate's going to be the person who just leads you to truth. Tells you what it is. Tell me what it's like. So that you know that you have someone you can rely on. He's going to teach you. He's going to remind you all the things I've taught you. He's going to lead you to the things that I've taught you. He's going to keep bringing you back. And I think about this. The reality is, if we're honest, we don't really always want to hear the truth, do we? We kind of like to live in the land of deception. In fact, our minds naturally walk, kind of head that way. Jesus said this. He says, I'm sending you the truth, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, who's going to lead you to all truth. And the reality is, a lot of times we say, well, I don't want to know the full truth. I kind of like to live in the deception a little bit. So, for example, when you look at and you make a decision or you have something important going in your life, how many times you say, Holy Spirit, would you lead me into the wisdom of your kingdom and what you want us to do in this? And how many times when making a decision do we ask the Holy Spirit to speak truth into that in a way that really hits the way he's moving? If you're anything like me, it's seldom. I'm quick to make decisions, but I seldom ask the Holy Spirit to ask. We don't always want to hear the truth. I don't hear a lot of people saying, Holy Spirit, how do I look in these jeans? Right? We don't want to hear that truth. Well, let me tell you why they're not fitting, right? We don't want that conversation with the Holy Spirit. So, anyway. We are much more comfortable in deception. Jesus says that. The world will turn away from truth. It doesn't want to hear it. It wants to go its own way and do its own thing. And I believe that's why Jesus said, you need the advocate. You need the Spirit. You need someone there you can rely on to lead you to truth. And think about this. There's some heavy truth that Jesus says. It started with this. Here's the truth. He said, Jesus said, and so he's either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's Lord, because he said this, that no one can come to the Father except through me. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father, lives in eternity, reconciled with God, except through me. Truth. Now, the world doesn't want to hear that, doesn't want to know it. In fact, there's probably some of you here today that don't want to know it because you have people in your life that don't know Jesus or have ignored Jesus, and you know the reality. If what he says is true, they're on the other side of that. And so it's easy to sit in the deception because we can't handle the truth. We don't want to know the truth. I think about this in the midst of this, that he is, the Holy Spirit, is the only person that can lead people to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Right? You can't do it. There's so many times I hear the, I just don't know enough. Or I don't. You're right. You don't know enough. You're not good enough. You'll never know all the answers. And I think every time I hear that, it really is this. It's a denial of the Spirit's work. In the midst of that, it's coming back and saying this. You know what? I can't get them there. You're right. Scripture says that. The only one that can lead you to truth is the Holy Spirit, which tells us this, that in every conversation, in every moment that we need to be saying, Holy Spirit, would you come and would you speak? Would you bring the power of heaven into this relationship, into this conversation, into this moment? Would you unleash the same power that can bring the dead to life? Would you unleash it in this moment? I'm guessing a lot of us don't say that. We don't think that. We don't pray that. What would that look like? The other truth is this. God has used you. He's called you to be the church, to be the vessel, to bring the good news of Jesus to the world. I mean, sometimes I think this. Sometimes I think the church, that when we say good news, we literally get the picture that we are like the doctor that's telling the world they have cancer. Instead of thinking it this way, the world has cancer and you've got the cure. I mean, can you imagine that? If you had the cure to cancer and you were like, well, I don't want to upset them. I don't want to make them uncomfortable. I'm just going to hold this tight because, I don't know, maybe they'll be upset with me. I mean, we've got bigger than cancer. we got the cure to eternal life found in Jesus Christ, the death and resurrection, who won victory over sin, death, and the devil. We know that. The Spirit's told us and taught us and led us there. We know it. The other thing is this. You think about this, this very thing that you will do even greater things than I, Jesus saying that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of us don't want to believe that. Because it means if we know that and think that, then we have to get into the game. We have to do something with that. And so we're way more comfortable being on the sidelines and bystanders and just saying, Holy Spirit, inspire me through other people. And I think for the church, we spent way more time doing that. In fact, one of the things I do every Sunday is I pray before I get up here. I pray and I say, okay, Holy Spirit, would you have a Pentecost moment here today? Would you take, through all the prayer and the time that goes into kind of creating the message and thinking about that, would you take all that stuff and, Lord, would you speak to wherever they are at today, these beautiful people? They've got so many different situations. You think about this, your situations are like languages, right? And would you take these words and speak the language to what their situation and where they're at, and just challenge them or convict them or encourage them or bring good news to the God, wherever they're at, God, would you just speak to them today? And would there be Pentecost that breaks out today, that they stand in amaze? And I love this. Every so often, there are people that come back there and they say, oh, it was like you were speaking to me today. And I'm telling you, I wasn't speaking to you today. The Holy Spirit was speaking to you that day, and give him credit for that. Not me. You know when I'm speaking. That was awful. We could have not went that morning. We could have just slept in this morning. At least we got a cookie in the back and free coffee. The Spirit speaks. And I love that moment in the midst of that. And sometimes you'll say, oh, yeah, when you said this, this just really hit that. And I'm thinking, I didn't really say that. But the beauty is that's Pentecost, right? That's the Spirit speaking to what you need to hear for what you're going through in that moment. And praise be to God. Praise be to God. That's his Spirit unleashed, the power of heaven creating and crashing into your world. That's awesome. And so think about this. What if every morning we did the same thing before we lived our life? God, would you send the power of heaven to crash into my world today, to crash into my work, to crash into my neighborhood, to crash into my conversations, to crash into my family? I want your power to unleash itself in and through me. I want to stand amazed and perplexed at your movement in my life today. What if we lived all the moments of our days like that, on mission for what the Spirit is doing? I'll tell you this. I love reading and hearing stories and listening to people who have this movement of the Spirit going on. So I want to tell you about my friend JD. And I'm going to tell it from a secondhand story, because actually Chris, I wasn't there at the time, but Kristen told me this. And so I hope, tell me if I'm wrong, okay? So JD, she will, yeah. I'm talking about now, not later, but now. So JD has got a church plant down in Texas, and here's one of the things that they do. They have a group of people from their church, and they go out into the community with the purpose of praying. And so they go out, and they say, okay, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you point out people in our path that just need to have some prayer or just need some interaction and some connection with your Spirit today? And in the midst of this, correct me if I'm wrong, in the midst of this, the Holy Spirit literally will tell them, like, they'll go to a restaurant and they'll say, yes, okay, I want you to go pray for a person in a green shirt and khaki pants. This is before they get to the restaurant, by the way, not when they get there, but before they get, is that right? Some along this line, yes. So in the midst of this, there are times where even they hear the name of who that is. So imagine this, going into a restaurant and seeing, wow, hey, I know this will sound weird, but we've been praying, and we believe that the God has led us to you. And is your name Steve? It is. Imagine that moment. Would that not be amazing and perplexing just in that moment right there, right? Okay, God has called me to pray for you. He's to pray for whatever's going on. I don't know what's going on in your life, but he's calling me to do that. Can we just pray for you? Is that not perplexing? Is that not amazing? I think about reading a book called Visions and Dreams, which is all about how God is moving in the Muslim world, in very deep Muslim-believing countries. And it's talking about people who are in the midst of their dreams and visions are seeing visions of Jesus. Times of literally where there are other places where they are being persecuted and people are coming to their house and with great violence, and God is protecting that place. And they're not being able to advance into that house, and they've been protected. I mean, amazing, powerful things that are going on in the community. I think about what God has been doing the last 2 months at our three campuses, right? As we were doing the give back, and we've given $10, and the stories that I'm hearing, God multiplying, and we have over 200 that we know of, stories of people going out and giving money to different people. We know there's probably 1,000. You talk about amazement and perplexing, people coming and going, whoa, you just paid for $1,000 of groceries for people that you don't even know. The amazement and perplexing. You gave to that organization, or you gave to those people that were in need. You helped that single mom. I mean, there's a lot of amazement and perplexing moments of what God's doing. And what I love, it's not just about the people that are receiving, it's about the people that are giving. And the people that are giving are coming back going, man, I don't know what's happening, but God is moving in and through me, and I'm amazed at how amazing this is. And I start to wonder in the midst of that, what would happen just a little bit if we got behind these words? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, which I believe covers Grant Township. And what would it look like if we hear that and know that in a powerful way each and every day we live our lives? In fact, I believe this, the Holy Spirit was absolutely slapping me up beside the head this week. I believe. And part of it was this, Derek, it is time for you to stop reading about people who are doing amazing things with the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop reading blogs and books and celebrating those things. Those are all good things. We should be doing that kind of thing. But stop living through other people. I've called you into the lives of other people. I've called to use you into the lives of the relationships that I've surrounded you with. You have the power living within you, Derek. And I started to think about that in the midst of this. What would happen if I lived the day saying the power of the Holy Spirit is alive and the power of heaven can crash into the world today? I mean, think about that. On that day, 3,000 people came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. In that one moment, that's the power of heaven crashing into the world. This last year in the Missouri Synod, 3,000 churches as a whole did not even have one person come to the holy waters of baptism. One day, 3,000 were saved. Over the whole year, 3,000 churches, not one person to the holy waters of baptism. And it started to think about this. Do we take what he says seriously? Do we see it as truth? Is that truth to you? Do you believe it? Do you know it? Do you live it? And I started to think that maybe we should just be truthful in who we are. Maybe in those 3,000 churches, we should just put on the sign, a spectator church. We're just here to watch what happens. And the more I thought about that picture, the more I started, I don't know about you, but just trouble in my soul. God hasn't called us to be spectators, even though we will spectate. But the beautiful thing is he's called us to be in the game. He's called us to be on screen. He's called us to speak as well as listen. And I think about this. What if we prayed, Lord, use me today, bring the power of heaven into my life. What would happen? I'm telling you this. In 5 years, we've had one adult baptism. And first of all, yay, that's awesome. But if we started living that out, I believe we'd have at least 20 this next year. 20 adults coming to the holy waters of baptism. 20. And you're like, oh my gosh, 20? I think that's small. I think it's a small number if we take this seriously. I think if they did 3,000, we could have 20. I think about this. What would it be like if we looked at our Muslim brothers and sisters and said this, boy, God loves you and wants you to live with him for all eternity, and we got serious about that. Sadio, I think about her. Today we're going to be packing today with this relationship that we've cultivated and loved and cared for. We're showing the good news of Jesus and how we love and walk alongside. Darlene has been amazing in this whole thing. And today we get to pack with her and her kids, and not just them, but a lot of people from Somalia and the Muslim world today over in the River Center. I mean, it's going to be filled with Christians and Muslims. And man, will you talk about what an opportunity to let the Holy Spirit and the power of heaven break into that thing. What if we joined with thousands of other Christians who said, God, we want the Muslim world to be saved. We want them to know you as Lord and Savior in your life. I mean, imagine the breakthrough that could happen that starts maybe today. Imagine what would happen in our lives as parents if we said the most important thing in our lives, in our kids' lives, is that they know Jesus Christ and that the power of the Holy Spirit would be unleashed in them the rest of their lives. What if we cared about that more than the grades that they got or the careers that they would have or who they were going to marry? That the most important thing to us is that they know the power of the Spirit because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. If that was just singing on our heart, what would happen? What would be if every day you woke up and said, God, just this year, I want just one person. I just want to make a difference in an eternal difference in one person's life that you put. And so, God, would you, through me, would you just bring the power of heaven into their life? How awesome would it be that this year, through your interaction and relationship with them, that they would come to that fountain? Or maybe it's another fountain, another church, whatever that is. They would come and they say, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Let's baptize. I mean, would there be any greater feeling than that? Most of the church doesn't know. I'm telling you, this is so powerful when we did. And I love this. This whole series was, or this sermon was all about this. It's to ignite. God, would you, through the Holy Spirit, would you ignite me like a match? And it only takes a spark to get. Thank you. And not just a fire, right? We're talking wildfire. 3,000 people is not just a little fire. That's fire. And maybe this is our prayer. God, would you absolutely light a fire and start with me? May I be your match. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we pray more than anything that you would just absolutely help us to know the truth in your promises that you've given us. God, you have sent your advocate, the Spirit, to not only lead us to truth, but to lead others to truth. And we pray more than anything, God, that you would just help us to understand the power that's within us. The same power, Lord, that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. And God, it is time for us as your church to go up and to raise the dead in this world. And so God, I'm praying that you would just use us in this amazing way, that we would get behind and know the power that has won victory already, Lord. And in that full confidence and that full love and that full grace as secured people in your kingdom, God, that we get bold. And God, I'm praying more and more that we would see opportunities and baptisms and moments where we just stand amazed and perplexed more and more. I'm amazed and perplexed at what you've done over this place in the last 5 years. But God, I know you're just preparing us and getting ready for what you have coming. And so keep our eyes forward. It's about you and your kingdom. And Lord, let us not waste our time. Let us speak into the things that truly matter. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.